Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. Yes, my name is Justin Reed. I honor to be the pulpit minister for the Arlington Church of Christ, and we'd love for you to join us here. We're going to talk about today Christ being preached, and I rejoiced. We're going to be looking at the book of Philippians. This is program number 128 in our series of Reading the Word. And if you want to join this lesson again anytime online, you can do so at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. From there, they're arranged by episode date and program title. You can just find number 128, Christ Preached, and I Rejoiced. I want you, if you will, turn in your New Testament to the book of Philippians. Philippians is a wonderful book. It's one of the epistles that the Apostle Paul wrote while he was in prison. And yet, being in prison, it is just overflowing, if you will, with love, with joy, and with hope. Now, we talk about joy in Philippians, but I believe you actually find the word hope more than you do joy. Paul is just so excited to write to these Christians that he loves. Of course, he was in the city of Philippi in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Spent a lot of time in Philippi. That's where he and Silas, they sang praise until midnight and converted the Philippian jailer. But I want us to look at Christ being preached. Look here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 as we begin our study. Says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul talks about how much he loves the church, how much he loves hearing preaching, and also how much Paul enjoys preaching as well. So I thought we talked about Christ being preached, and today I want us to rejoice. Now, there are four chapters in the book of Philippians, and with that, there are four things I want us to look at, and each one begins with the letter P, if you're taking notes at home. So we see from chapter 1 and verse number 21, look there first with me, there is a passion for life. Philippians chapter 1 and 21. Paul says, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." There is a passion for life. Paul feels that he would rather go on to his eternal reward. Well, who wouldn't, right? The faithful Christian, knowing that Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 22, faithful unto the ends when you receive a crown of life. Also Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, literally the idea of that final breath. Paul knows that if he could leave, he would be better off. But notice, he says, if I live in the flesh, verse 22, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot or I know not, for I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul is, as it were, he was torn. And on one side, he wants to be in the flesh to help the church at Philippi, to write unto them, to encourage them, as he is encouraging us by this letter today. But yet, he knows that eternal reward, and he would rather go there. Sometimes we may feel this way, right? When life is weighing us down, we know we're faithful to the Lord. We almost say, I'd just rather him just come on back or take me first. Yet at the same time, maybe there are people in our family we need to try to convert, neighbors that we have not talked to or co-workers, whoever the case may be. See, when Christ was preached, there was a passion for life. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. In fact, there's a Bible that lives in my car. It has the name Car Bible on it. I stamped that on there when I worked at DeHoff's. And on the back, I put this verse, "For me to live as Christ and to die as gain." Dear Christian friend, can that be said of you? Well, if not, you need to straighten up and fly right. We see, number one, there is a passion for life. Number two, look over in chapter 2 of Philippians as we're looking at Christ being preached and I rejoice. We see a pattern for our life. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Here is a pattern for life, dear friends, in that Paul starts out, "Let this mind," here is your mindset, here's how you are to live your life. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." I am to try to act, talk, think, and behave the way that Jesus Christ behaved. Now, of course, he was perfect, did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, but I can do my best to live as perfect as I can. Jesus, verse number 6, He was just like God. In fact, John spends the whole book proving to us in his gospel account how Jesus was God in the flesh. And so he was in the form of God. He thought it not robbery. He was equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon the form of a servant, a lowly worm, as one of the songs sings. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm? That's you and I, dear friends. He emptied himself, became like a man, and was found just like us. Literally emptied the heaven, but notice not only was he like a man, he was humble, and he became obedient unto death. What death? That death on the cross. Well, dear friends, if I want to hear Christ preach and I want to rejoice, then I need to follow that pattern for my life. You know the old bracelets that used to go around and they would say, what would Jesus do? Oftentimes, that's good to think about. What would Jesus do? If I'm to have this mindset as a pattern for my life, I need to know, what would Jesus do? Well, he would love people first. He would always do what God has said to do. And since Jesus was obedient unto death, dear friends, and I'm going to let that be my pattern, then I must be obedient unto death as well. That will be the pattern for my life if I want to be faithful. Well, that's the first two chapters of the book of Philippians. When we join us on the other side of the break, we'll look at chapters 3 and 4, talking about Christ preached and I rejoice. But stay with us. Brother Jim Dearman's going to join us, invite you to the services at the Arlington Church of Christ, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m. with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman, and glad to have you with us here on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed, and if you're just now joining us, we'd love for you to find us anytime online at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. From there you can find this one, number 128, Christ Preach and I Rejoice. You can also find the 127 programs that preceded it and all sorts of sermons, notes. Everything is on there for you at absolutely no charge. Not asking a dime from you, just rather sit and study God's Word together. As we're talking about Christ being preached and I rejoice, we're looking in the book of Philippians, a letter that is just oozing, if you will, with joy and love and hope for the Christian. And we see from chapter 1 and verse 21 that there is a passion for life, in that for me to live as Christ and to die as gain. Then from chapter 2, there is a pattern for life, living the life of Christ, chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, doing our best to be faithful to Him. But I want us to look now in chapter 3 as we go through this short, if you will, four chapter book. Chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, there is a prize for life. There is a prize that can be attained once we are faithful to the end. Notice what Paul says, Philippians 3 and verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was evidently aware of the fact that there is a prize for the Christian waiting on him or her when they die faithful to the Lord. And we know he was waiting for that. He says, I have not apprehended this one thing I do. He says, I forget what's behind me. I am working forward. Next time you get in your automobile, a car, a truck, a tractor, whatever it may be, I want you to notice one important thing. The windshield is rather large, yet the rearview mirror is rather small. See, Paul said he was going to forget the things were behind him. Not that they weren't there. Not that they didn't have an impact on his life. We know his life. It's recorded in the book of Acts, right? The persecutor of the church, how he had Christians thrown away in prison, this, that, and the other, his thorn in the flesh. He had a life. He couldn't undo the past, but he's leaving them behind. He's forgetting those things that are behind, and he's looking for the things that are before him. Oh, how many times do we have a friend who just can't get over their past? Dear friends, in Jesus Christ, he wipes that slate clean. You no longer have to have guilt. That's Satan trying to get back at you. Just tell him, I don't live at that house anymore. Quit trying to send me mail there. But look at verse 14. He says, I'm forgetting the things behind. I am pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I continue to press. I think about the song, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. He is continually going. What is that mark? He knows there is a reward that waits on him. And dear friends, the true blessing in this is that Paul, almost 2,000 years ago now, was not the only one that had that reward. In fact, that's what he tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. He says, "Henceforth, not for me only, but unto all them who love his appearing and who are faithful to the Lord." There is a prize for life. Whether you've been a Christian for a long time, whether you're a new convert, or you're thinking about becoming a Christian, be faithful from this moment of obedience onward to the end, and that's when you have that crown of life. There is a prize for our life. But dear friends, I want us to look at our final point in the book of Philippians. We're talking about Christ being preached, and I am rejoicing. Notice here, chapter 4 and verse 13, arguably the most quoted verse in the entirety of the book of Philippians. There is power for life. Power for life. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Well, what does he mean in context? Go back to verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, or honest, or just, or pure, or lovely, or of good report, if there be any virtue, any praise, think on these things. To me, that's just a furtherance of the "let this mind be in you which is also in Christ." Because these are the things Christ would think on. "These things you have both learned," verse 9, "and received and heard and seen in me, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly. Now at the last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you are also careful, but you lacked opportunity." He said, "I speak not in respect of want," verse 11, "for I have learned whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need, for I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." There is a power for the life. That is God. Go back and do a character study of Paul's life in the book of Acts, beginning in chapter 7, but especially chapter 9 onward. We see there is such great power that is driving his life, and at first he was confused, mistrued on how to do things, but then he obeys the gospel, and then he knows the power of God that was guiding him. Sometimes the Spirit was telling him very explicitly, "Don't go this way," or "Go this way." Paul knew there was power. He says in verse number 12, "I know how to be abased, I know how to abound." Well, if anybody, it would be Paul, right? He had the best education, literally, that money could buy you in those days. He was well respected. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the strictest. Everybody knew who Paul was. And yet he says, I don't glory in that. He elsewhere in the New Testament calls that as if it were dung to him, all his previous accolades. He says, "Now I know how to do what I need to. I can be up, I can be down, I can be hungry, I can be full." Why? Because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth him. And the blessedness of this is, dear friends, the same Christ that gives him strength is the same Christ that gives us strength today through his word, the same Christ that came into this world to die upon the cross for my sins and yours. He's my best friend, and he should be your best friend as well. We see that Christ is being preached, and I am rejoicing because there is a passion for life in chapter 1 and verse 21 of Philippians. There is a pattern for life in chapter 2, verses 5 through 8, having the mindset of Christ. There is a prize for life, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, that prize, that heavenly crown. Then there is a power, chapter 4 and verse 13, for this life. When Christ is preached, dear friends, we should rejoice as well. And then we should act upon that. And if you're not a Christian, you need to become one. We'd love to sit and study with you. You go online to readingtheword.net. At the bottom of the page, there's a contact option, a phone number on there, email address as well. We'd love to sit and study with you. If we're not close to you, we would love to point somebody in your direction. But Christ is preached, dear friends, so we should rejoice. By the way, while you're online at readingtheword.net, you click on where it says radio programs. Once again, if you want to share this with anybody else that you can do so online at readingtheword.net. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and we do appreciate you being with us. We'll join us again next time on this same channel at the exact same time, begin a new course of study. May the good Lord bless you, and may he keep you. Please continue to pray, and thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.